to this video addressing the life cycle assessment of energy systems. My name is Myriam Sade. I'm a researcher at Université Gustave Eiffel, and part of my research is about the assessment of urban and industrial system in a life cycle perspective. In this video, we will have first an overview of the environmental impacts of energy systems, and with a focus on electricity generation technology. You will then learn about life cycle assessment, LCA, its objectives, principles, and phases. We will finally look at two examples illustrating the possible application of LCA to the energy sector, a comparison of scenarios of alternatives at power plant level, and a comparison of scenario for the supply of electricity at national level. About 80% of primary energy demand is based on fossil fuel technologies, which emits large amounts of carbon dioxide. Consequently, with approximately 35% of total greenhouse gases emissions in 2017, the energy sector is the largest contributor to climate change, with an annual rate of greenhouse gases emissions of about 3%. Consequently, there's an increasing pressure for the design and implementation of low-carbon energy systems. However, adopting low-carbon technologies or renewable energy technologies does not mean suppressing environmental impacts, especially if we first consider a life cycle perspective, and second, if we consider other environmental impact, not only climate change. Looking at the life cycle of energy technologies, most CO2 emissions occur during the energy conversion phase, because of the combustion of fossil fuel, such as oil, coal, or natural gases. But some emissions also occur during the transportation of raw material or the distribution of energy carriers. Indirect CO2 emissions can also be attributed to other phases, for example, the raw material extraction, and also indirect CO2 emissions occur during the manufacturing of power plants, including the power plants converting the non-renewable energy sources. Also, other greenhouse gases emissions have to be taken into account when it comes to the evaluation of climate change impacts, especially the emission of methane, but other CHG emissions. For that, the carbon footprint accounts for direct and indirect greenhouse gases emissions in a life cycle perspective. It integrates all greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane, other gases that have a global warming potential, and is expressed in CO2 equivalent. Here is the carbon footprint for different electricity generation technologies, and it gives some information about the performance of such technologies. Nuclear power and renewable resources offer much better performance than technologies relying on coal, oil, or natural gases. And if we look at the numbers, producing 1 kilowatt hour electricity emits on average 1 kilo CO2 equivalent for coal-based technologies, about 0.8 kilogram CO2 equivalent for oil, and 0.5 for natural gas. Variation are important depending on the type of technologies that is involved. For nuclear or renewable energy, sources, greenhouse gases emissions range from 5 to 50 gram CO2 equivalent, so far less. So the carbon footprint is better for technologies relying on nuclear power and renewable energy sources. But what about their overall environmental performance in a life cycle perspective? As mentioned previously, the emissions of greenhouse gases highlights the environmental burden of fossil energy, in particular coal. But if we look at other environmental impacts, the picture is quite different. Exposure to primary and secondary particles have severe consequences on human health, and particulate matter formation is then one possible indicator of the effects of technologies on human health. In the case of electricity, the natural gas and certain hydropower technology causes the highest formation of particulate matter. That's a third thing. A second thing, if we look at resource consumption, for example, iron or cement, well, technologies based on renewable resources such as concentrating solar power or hydropower or wind power have impacts that are higher than fossil fuel energies. So the environmental performance of energy systems are not the same according to the impact category that is considered. In short, fossil fuel-based power generates the highest impacts on climate change, but environmental impacts are many, and it also accounts for damages on human health, damages on ecosystems, resource depletion. Also, what can be said is that environmental impacts occur mostly during the energy conversion stage for fossil-based technology. But they occur during other stages for nuclear power, where impacts are related to fuel disposal, and also for renewable energy technologies, impacts occur mostly during other life cycle stages, such as raw material extraction, assembly, or decommissioning of power plant. Another point is that wind, solar, and biomass energy are based on renewable sources, but the resources necessary for the related capital goods, meaning the infrastructure necessary to convert such energy source, are not. I'm thinking about power plant facilities, machineries, photovoltaic cells, etc. So there's a need for tools that enable to identify improvements that do not transfer environmental burdens, for example, for stage to another or from an environmental impact to another. So life cycle assessment in that sense is the kind of tool that can be useful in that circumstances. Life cycle assessment quantifies the potential environmental impacts caused by a product, a service, or a decision throughout its whole life cycle. It considered the life cycle of a system from cradle to grave, from extractions of raw materials to the disposal of waste. It helps identify where environmental improvements can be made. The tool is used to compare products, processes, or system based on the same function. Here are the principles of the methodology. LCA first is an environmental assessment tool, which means if it focuses on the environmental impacts of a product, service or technology. It does not evaluate costs or technical feasibility, but can be combined with other assessment tools. LCA is a functional assessment, meaning that it links the environmental performance and the function of a product, a service, or a decision to facilitate the comparison between alternatives. It has a life cycle perspective since it provides quantified balances for the entire life cycle of a product or service from acquisition of resources to the end of life. It is a multi-criteria tool as it assesses the multiple effects on the environment. For this, it accounts for the major environmental issues known and modeled currently. So climate change, resource depletion, toxicity on humans and ecosystems, land occupation, land use, etc. The method is also comparative, iterative, standardized, and data intensive, as we will see in a few moments. It aims at answering three main questions. First, which stage of the life cycle is responsible for the higher environmental impacts? What are the major direct and indirect impacts on human health, climate change, etc.? Which substances are responsible for the main impacts? Following the ISO 14,040 and 14,044, LCA consists of four phases: goal and scope definition, inventory analysis and impact assessment and interpretation. And the four phases are mandatory if we want to comply with the international standard. The first phase is the goal and scope definition. It describes the problem and defines the scope of the study. It specifies the function of the system and what is called the functional unit, which is the basic unit for which all flows and impacts will be calculated. It also sets the system boundaries and details the scenarios to be compared. The second phase is the life cycle inventory. It quantifies the flows of matter, energy, and pollutant that cross the system boundaries, including the resources extracted from the environment, energy carriers, minerals, soils, water, and polluting substances emitted to the environment throughout the entire life cycle of the assessed product or system. Ideally, the inventory should account for all substances exchanged between the economic system and the environment, but practically only a few thousand substances are being quantified. And because of the large number of substances, this phase is data intensive and requires the collection of specific data as well as the use of generic life cycle inventory databases. The first phase quantifies the potential environmental impacts of the system by linking the inventory data to environmental damages. All inventory flows having similar effects are grouped into a given impact category. For example, CO2, methane, and nitrous oxide, etc., are grouped into the climate change category. Then each inventory flow is multiplied by a characterization that quantifies its contribution to the impact category. Scores for each impact category are calculated by adding the score of each flow. And characterization factors are provided by life cycle impact assessment methods, which are quite under development nowadays. The four phases is the interpretation, which is basically the most important phase of RCA. It aims at identifying the life cycle stages that contribute to the larger part of the impact, the interventions that can substantially reduce the environmental impacts of the product, and it also aims at analyzing the quality, sensitivity, and uncertainties of the results. So there's a quality check during this phase that is crucial for the quality of the study. Interpretation has to be performed for each phase of LCA, for each LCA stage, for each system component, and for each substance. I want now to present two examples illustrating the possible application of the tool in the energy sector. The first example is about the comparison of alternatives for given power technology. The second is about comparing scenarios for the supply of electricity at national level. The first case study is an assessment of specific energy technologies at power plant level. What is better when designing a photovoltaic power station, fixed or mobile technologies? Mobile technologies increase the production of electricity, but it raises the question, what are the environmental costs of such improvement? So here the study compares four scenarios of large-scale grid-connected ground-mounted photovoltaic installation, considering one module technology and different type of structures and supports, fixed mounting or mobile, aluminium versus wood. So the functional unit that has been defined is 1 kilowatt kilowatt hour electricity produced. The system boundaries include the infrastructure manufacturing, the module, the foundations, and so on. It also considered the assembly of the plant, the use phase generating the electricity, and the dismantling and waste treatment. He does not take into account storage of energy. So, well, the inventory calculation was done using specific data and life cycle inventory database called EncoInvent, and it uses the life cycle impact assessment method Impact 2002, which calculates impact score for human health, ecosystem quality, climate change, and resources. The figure here shows that no scenario is better than the other for all damage categories. The first scenario, which is the a fixed scenario with aluminium support, has the worst environmental performance for human health, climate change, and resources. But for ecosystem quality, it is the mobile dual axis scenario that has the worst performances. Why is that so? Because the dual axis scenario requires to expand the distance between each element of the photovoltaic field and then need more space and consumes more land, and this impacts the ecosystem quality. So to improve the system, it is also necessary to understand where which stage of the life cycle causes the major impacts. For both human health and climate change, the manufacturing of multicrystalline silicon module generates the largest impacts for the second and third scenarios. But in the case of the first scenario with fixed support and aluminium support, well, it is the manufacturing of virgin aluminium which has the largest contribution, especially because of emission of small particles, nitrogen oxide, and sulfur oxide. what this particular case study shows is that the shift from fixed to mobile photovoltaic system and technologies generates environmental trade-offs from a life cycle stage to another and from an impact category to another. So both elements have to be taken into account. The second example is an assessment of electricity systems in a context and future-oriented perspective. The objective is to assess the environmental performances of energy scenario built to meet the energy demand of a particular national context, Denmark. And the performance is normalized per kilowatt hour electricity delivered. The study compares a baseline, a scenario for 2010 conditions with two prospective low carbon scenario for 2030, a business as usual scenario and a green scenario with increased share of wind and biomass power and a decrease in coal at the national electricity mix. As a result, the adoption of renewable energy technology decreases the potential global warming score as well as the fossil fuel depletion. However, such improvements are not consistent with results in other impact categories. For example, the score of related to abiotic resource depletion are higher when adopting renewable resources technology, because especially because wind technologies are consuming more metals than the coal technologies. So both examples show that multi-criteria and multi-stage perspective is important when comparing the environmental performances of technologies or energy supply scenarios. In that sense, life cycle assessment provides environmental arguments for the selection and prioritization of solutions that are technically feasible and economically viable. Thank you for your attention.